The guys behind the From Corner to Corner podcast are diving deep into Montgomery County High School sports with the Community Trust Bank Coach's Corner. Join us as we talk local high school athletics with your local coaches. Whether you're a student athlete or a screaming fan, this is the place to turn to get the inside scoop before the next big game. And now, it's time for the show with Sean Kuiper, Neil Payne, Adam Muncy, and Wes Crouch.
Welcome back to another episode of From Corner to Corner, Coach's Corner. Episode 242, live from Community Trust Bank Studio on North Maysville. This is the From Corner to Corner, Coach's Corner, presented by Whitaker Bank.
We're live.
Sorry, we're live, pal.
can't do live TV like that.
Thanks for joining us live on Facebook and YouTube. Sorry if there's any kind of sound delay. We've been working with that.
Hey, Whitaker Bank, we would like to have your
Whitaker, you got a free sponsorship right there. Before we get started, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors, the real ones, for making this all happen. Community Trust Bank, Chemsoft, Tutu Sweet Treats, CRC Renovations, Kentucky Realty Group, Jacob's Auto Body, Kelwell Commissary, and Simply Secure, and Brent Lee Hunt's Kentucky Farm Bureau in Frenchburg, a sponsor of the Athlete of the Month for Menifee County. While you're watching, go ahead and take a second to hit that like button and subscribe and share this out for your friends so they can hear it. Joining us tonight, we have University of Cumberland's men's basketball coach, Matthew Daniel. Matthew, thank you for joining us.
Woo!
Sorry about the delay there, Coach.
That's okay. I appreciate you guys having me. I'm honored to be on.
Awesome. So Adam is the one that invited you. You've got some history here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? For those of us that don't know who you are.
Sure. I grew up the son of a high school coach. My dad coached me at Rowan County High School in Moorhead, Kentucky, and grew up there in Moorhead, and then made my way to University of Cumberland as a player. Came down here and played for Coach Don Buescher down here at University of Cumberland, and shortly after graduating from there, I actually made my way up to Montgomery County and began my coaching career there at Montgomery under Happy Osborne. The 1 year that Happy coached at Montgomery County was my first year coaching. And then we spent 7 years there, two as an assistant, five as a head coach before heading back down here to Williamsburg and getting an opportunity to coach in college. I'm married to my wife. She also a Cumberland's grad, Amber Daniel. She was a great player here at UC and is a teacher here in the Whitley County school system, and we've got three sons. Camden is 10, Beckham is 7, and Crew is almost 3.
Fantastic. So
two more, and y'all have a basketball team.
We are out of the baby game.
Never say never.
We were done at 2, and then we weren't done. So no more kids for us.
Look, I got two boys. If you want to go ahead and put them on full scholarship, we'll form the team right now.
Well, not bring six to the table. So I mean, it had to be co-ed, and we have bench players.
I can't believe it's been 10 years already since Happy was here. That's crazy. Because that's 2014, right?
Yeah. So you were here 2014 to 2019, right?
Yeah, well, I guess our first year, 2012-2013 was our first year. And Happy was the reason, I played against Coach Osborne when he was the coach at Georgetown. I was playing here. Obviously, Georgetown is one of our big rivals. So that was my connection to Happy in the first place. Just kind of through different avenues, that's how I got to Montgomery County. I didn't have any other connection other than Happy and just from playing against them.
You actually coached my cousin, Cody Parsley, here.
Yeah.
He's a bum. You can go ahead and say it.
No, never. I love Cody. It was great to coach and enjoyed our time. Yeah, actually, we lived in the same subdivision. I don't know if Cody and Violet and them, they still live there, but that's where the first house that my wife and I bought was in that subdivision.
Well, Violet and Mike are still there. Cody's finally hit the road. He's out in Carlisle.
Okay. Had to get him up out of there, huh?
Yeah, it's time for him to move on.
Yeah.
So, Coach, when you left here, did you ever think college was an option, or did you want another high school job, or what?
Yeah, you know, I kind of did always. I was intrigued by college. Once you dive into the high school game, sometimes those pathways to college are not as straight as maybe jumping right into the college game, in GA, or, hopping into an ops job on a staff. So, I went into high school. Again, like I told you guys, my dad was a high school coach. So that was kind of the life I grew up in, and kind of thought that was going to be my path. Actually, previous to me coming back and being Coach Butcher's assistant at Cumberland's, you know, he had offered me the job previously, and I had turned it down to stay at Montgomery. And, when it came back around that I got an opportunity, I jumped on it, and forever grateful that Coach Butcher, that, again, that's the guy that I played for and coached under, forever grateful that he gave me the opportunity, because really I didn't have a ton of lifelines in the college game. So, you know, you needed somebody that believed in you, you know, despite the fact that I didn't have really any recruiting base, any recruiting knowledge, so to speak, any ties. You know, he gave me an opportunity to do it, and, got to learn a lot from him for 2 years, and then, you know, fortunate enough that when he decided to retire that they handed it to me. But my path has been a little bit unique for guys that want to get into college. I don't know that I would recommend my trajectory, even though it did work out well for myself.
And you turned into Coach of the Year, so I guess you're doing all right.
Well, listen, any coach that brags on Coach of the Year, man, Coach of the Year has happened to the team with good players. I had really good players this year, and that's more of a faction of that than the coaching. I was just blessed with guys that could put the ball in the rim and played the way that we wanted to play. So I'm going to take not very much credit. Humility is actually on our board in the locker room. It's one of our four pillars. So I'm going to give those guys the credit before I take any myself.
So, Coach, you talked about moving from the high school game into college, and you talked about having zero recruiting experience, really. So how tough of an adjustment was that for you?
Some of it is different. It's just kind of a 365 thing. You're always recruiting, even when you're not actively calling and researching and talking to coaches and talking to kids, talking to parents. You're always researching and seeing who might fit. And there's a little bit of an art to putting a roster together. You got to know what you need and what makes sense. You know, you're not just out here, putting assets together. You want to put a roster together that makes sense from a technical standpoint. Guys that make sense playing together. So a little bit of that. You don't just try to get a bunch of the best players you can get. They got to make sense, and you got to work at it. You got to make connections. You got to stay on the phone and get out and about. So a lot of it is just a little bit of work.
So, Coach, you mentioned recruiting and this transfer portal era. How much time goes into recruiting to keep your own kids versus going out on the road and getting new kids in? So, Coach, you mentioned.
Yeah, the transfer thing, it's kind of hitting everybody. You know, we actually had one of our best players this year is looking into the portal, looking to see if there's any Division I's out there that may be interested in him. And so it's kind of hitting all of us a little bit, but, you know, We've had some luck in the portal, and sometimes, especially now, where there used to be a clear path. If a guy was a two-time NCAA transfer, those guys would be hit on. And there used to be all these rules with what guys could do, from a transfer standpoint, as far as sitting out and going to different schools. Well, now those rules have kind of changed, and so for us to get Division I, Division II transfer, sometimes there's got to be a previous relationship, maybe you recruited in the past. Before they landed at their current place, we had four guys on this year's roster that all at some point had been on a Division I roster, and really each one of them you look at, they all had a prior relationship with us. Whether we had recruited them in the past, they knew our assistant, whatever it was, there was some kind of previous relationship. But in the day of the transfer and NIL and all those things, you just gotta sometimes you gotta get lucky. And again, sometimes you just got to have you know, connections. And we've been, again, this past group, we were really lucky to have those connections and find the right guys to put a team together.
So, you know, when you're going out and recruiting, you're not only trying to sell the kids on the university, you're also trying to sell the kids on yourself, so to speak. So how do those conversations go?
Yeah, well, you know, we start with, you know, we've got a great school. Our school's done really well in a lot of respects. You know, our whole athletic department's done really well. So we've had a lot of success. You know, our men's basketball program, it speaks for itself, so to speak. You know, on the NAI level, you know, we've been to 30, I think this year made 32 national tournaments, which is second most of any NAI team in the country. So we've had a lot of success. So we're able to sell that. We recruit a lot of guys that, you know, have ambitions of playing professionally, you know, whether it be, you know, abroad or you know, whatever. And so we've had some success getting guys overseas to different professional opportunities. And, you know, I think that and guys got to trust you. They've got to trust that you know, have their best interest at heart, that you're going to do right by them. I think, you know, guys come in on visits, they see that, you know, we are about what we say we're about. We're going to treat them right and hold them accountable and do those things. But I think, you know, recruiting a lot of times just comes down to relationships and if it's a good fit. And again, we've been fortunate enough to find enough good fits here of late that it's worked out well for us.
Coach, we had a question posted on our Facebook page yesterday that somebody was asking. And it kind of stemmed from the fact that, you know, obviously UK's had the coaching change, looking at players staying, transferring, things like that. One of our passionate listeners and sometimes fill in on the show was asking, that posed the question, was like, how do you feel about the guy that has put his name in the portal but is still kind of hanging around and stuff like that? Like, I know a lot of coaches are like, if you put your name in the portal, you're gone. Others are like, you put your name in the portal and you want to come back, I'm welcoming you with open arms. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, it's so interesting. You know, we've got a guy on our team, a guy actually led us in scoring at the end of the year. You know, when our points per game worked out, he was our leading scorer. Didn't start a game, came off the bench the entire season, but led us in scoring. He was just a sophomore, came to us from a junior college. And he's kind of testing, you know, what's out there for him. You know, we don't have a portal, so to speak, but you know, he's seeing what's out there at the Division I level for him and getting intel and coming back. And the thing that's nice, again, he and I have a great relationship. He's got 2 years of eligibility left. He's open and honest with all the things that he's getting. And, you know, if he decides, he tells me tomorrow that he's coming back, we're gonna take him back. Because, again, we've built a good relationship with him. I don't disparage the kid from trying to find what he may think is a better opportunity.
Yeah.
What he may think is, but sometimes the grass isn't always greener, and that's why it's been important for him to be open and honest with us. You know, a couple years ago, Coach Bush's last year, my last year as an assistant coach, met a young man who was very talented. He left us and went to Youngstown State. So spent his last year of eligibility up at Youngstown State and did really well. You know, averaged 14 a game up there. He's playing in the BBL, you know, the British Basketball League now for the Bristol Flyers. And that was probably best for his career, best for what he needed to do as a basketball player. He'd accomplished a lot at the NAI level and wanted to see if he could, you know, if it translated to a higher level, and it did for him. And I think the young man we've got now, I think it could. It may not, you know, maybe not this year, maybe next year. But I know he's got a home here, and you know, he's where we got out of the weight room 30 minutes ago. He was in the weight room with us. So we're still treating him like one of our own. And I just think in this day and time, you know, you don't want to cut your nose off to spite your face. And you know, he's been a good kid for us and obviously a good player. So if he wants to come back, we're going to welcome him with open arms for sure.
Absolutely. So, Coach, you know, we talked a lot about the recruiting process and transfers and all that. And, you know, Adam mentioned earlier about you being, you know, the coach of the year. And, you know, you humbly, you know, talked about your players. So let's talk about your players. Let's talk about the season. Tell us how this year went for you.
Yeah, we did really well. You know, I kind of mentioned all the success that we've had, you know, at the NAI level on a national scale. You know, we've been at 32 national tournaments, you know, but we had not won a regular season conference championship in 21 seasons. So that was a big goal for us. So we were able to accomplish that. We were able to win the Mid-South. And, again, if you know anything about NAI basketball, I think our league is the best in the country. You know, you look at Georgetown, who's had a ton of success. Freed Hardman is now in our league out of Tennessee. They actually just won the national championship. Shawnee State was in our league. They left. They went to a different conference. But while they were in our conference, they won a national championship. So our league is as good as it gets, you know, at our level. So, you know, for us to win a regular season title, I thought that was really, really important. It's something we'd really strive for. But we had player of the year in our conference. A young man named Jonathan Brown was a senior, transferred to us from the University of Montana, played up there for the Grizzlies. He just last week just signed with an agent, so he's going to be playing professionally. You know, he was kind of the catalyst for our team when he decided to take his last year, and he decided it was going to be with us. It really kind of set us up on a path for the season that we had. But Jonathan had a great year. He was Mid-South Conference Player of the Year. He's first team All-American, NABC All-American, all of that, which was really, really important. You know, the way our roster was constructed, I mentioned a couple of Division I transfers. We've also got, you know, the high school kids we recruit are typically Kentucky kids. So we have some guys that, you know, people might be familiar with. Tanner Walton was a redshirt freshman for us this year. He played at GRC when they won a state title. Actually led the state tournament, rebounding that season, was an all-state player. Brady Bell was a first was an all-state kid, 16th region player of the year from Russell High School. We had two young men from South Laurel down here in our part of the state, down in London. Matt Cromer was a first-team all-stater, had a great year, started every game for us. And then J.J. Ramey was a senior. He was all-conference this year, but was an all-state kid in high school. So our recruiting is a lot of high school kids. We try to center that around Kentucky, and then we try to get the best transfers we can get. You know, the kid I mentioned earlier that's kind of testing what's out there, Andy Johnson, came to us from Northeast Mississippi, Community College in Mississippi, had a great year. Again, led us in scoring, didn't start a game all year, came off the bench. But it was a really good group, a really unselfish group with all, you know, for all the talent. And the Division I transfers, we really shared the ball well. You know, we were seventh in the country in scoring. We averaged close to 88 points a game. So we played very fast, and we didn't have for 88. You know, we only had one guy average almost 15 points a game. So very balanced. We had, you know, 5-6 guys in double figures, another couple guys kind of knocking on the door double figures. So you know, we committed to a way that we wanted to play, and our guys kind of saw that through. And you know, it's a fun way to play basketball. We're gonna run up and down. We're gonna push on makes and misses. And you know, we're gonna shoot a lot of threes. And again, our guys took to it. And but they're the ones that made the baskets. I didn't score any points all year. I didn't get any assists, and I didn't get a lot of assists anyway. So again, credit those guys for making the plays and making our year as special as it was.
So coach, what is something that you look for in a player when you're looking at somebody who can come to the University of Cumberland?
Yeah, well, I think that the talent, obviously, you know, we're trying to recruit talented basketball players. I think that goes without saying, but we try to build relationships with guys, and we want high character guys. You know, we think we have a really good, you know, I know the word gets used a lot and sometimes overused, but we have a really good culture here of really good guys, you know, guys that mesh well together. I think you look at, again, the unselfishness of this group and you know, them all putting their own needs aside, so to speak, from a scoring standpoint and individual accolades and always putting the team first. That, you know, that's something we always look for in guys. And we look for good students, you know, guys that want to be in college, want to get degrees. You know, we've had a lot of guys play professionally, but we've yet to have a guy play in the NBA. So each of the guys, even if they get a chance to play professionally, they're going to have a job after basketball is over. And we want to try to set them up and, you know, make sure that they get that degree. And we're going to try to hold them accountable in the classroom, just like we do on the floor. So high character guys and you know, the talent, those are, I think, the main two things that we're looking for in recruiting specifically.
You know, Coach, I'm interested to hear, being a head coach at the high school level and the college level, what, I mean, obviously, then, you know, you get to go out and recruit your team. What is what's the biggest difference coaching wise?
I think you hit on it. You know, the way that we play here, the way that I enjoy coaching from a stylistic standpoint, we're able to do that here because I can get the players that fit that system. You know, high school, sometimes you are kind of gearing your system around what you had. Some of the mistakes I made as a high school coach, frankly, were just not matching our talent with how we played. And I think that was a mistake. And then, you know, I got the Montgomery job at 24 years old, and I was you know, super young and inexperienced and made some mistakes. And I think that's the biggest thing now. Now, I don't really I can play the way that we want to play. Our team can play the way that we want to play. Based on those type of guys we don't get. And so that's the main thing. I think our ability to score the ball again this year specifically, scoring became really pretty easy for us. Again, 88 points a game is a lot in a 40-minute game. I don't let runs bother me. Maybe like you would in a high school game, a 6-0 and 8-0 in a high school game seems so detrimental because, again, a lot of games are in the 40s, And, for us, we could rip off a 15-17-0 run in a heartbeat ourselves. So I think there's some, from a flow standpoint, you look at the game a little bit, different. High school versus college. But at the core, it's basketball's got to go find ways to manufacture basketball, the other guy's got to stop you from scoring. So a lot of similarities, but there are some biggest things from a style standpoint we can kind of pick the guys that we want to run those plays.
I know, don't have a question right offhand, but I mean, I do know that when you drive by the University of Cumberland, and we do that very often going down to Tennessee, it's an immaculate setting. I mean, it's right there off the interstate. Everybody can see, other than, the arena that you all play in. But, I mean, everybody can see that they're not fooling around down there. They spend the money to make sure that everybody, that students have what they need down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that starts from the top. Our president, he's been the president here. Dr. Cochran's been the president here for, I guess, going on a decade. He was at the university when I was here in school in a different role, became president. And shortly after that, really saw the future of online learning pretty quick. And dove into that. So if you look at certain enrollment numbers online, Google our school, it's going to say there's 20,000 enrollment. Obviously, we don't have 20,000 here on campus. But then we've got so many people online, not just online, talking all across the world.
Right.
Taking different courses and doing different. His foresight is that the way to go is really helping us from a financial standpoint, a very good spot. He's made our school very affordable, two kids here in Southeast Kentucky where sometimes it can be a little bit tougher to get to college, so I think that's been a huge thing, very beneficial thing. And then they've done a great job with the aesthetics here. I tell people all the time, I graduated in 2012 and I love the school when I was here. I love it. I'm patriot through and through, but we're miles ahead of where we were at that time. So just thankful to be a part of a place that obviously I also dear to my heart, but also a place that's just frankly, I'm in this office quite a bit. And want to see our facility. We take great pride in all of our facilities, but our gym specifically is top of the line.
So to be able to get kids down there to see where you all play. Do you all have like clinics, camps, stuff like that that you all put on for, the high school athlete?
Each of the past two summers, we've had an elite camp, a prospect camp that we've put on here. It's usually a one-day camp. We haven't set the date for this summer. Obviously, when we do, we'll be pouring information out, but. The last two summers have been really good. We've actually extended a couple of offers from our camp. A couple of scholarship offers. We're able to scholarship at a pretty high rate. We have the max that we are allowed here for the NAIA. But we'll have one again this summer. We'll allow them to play. And my guys, a lot of times, come back and work it. So they can see guys firsthand as well. So that's been really good for us. But then we do have a pretty, I think from my time coaching in the state, I think we do have a good handle on the state of Kentucky as a whole. What players are out there and who we need to recruit. July and then all the way through the high school season, we're going to be out recruiting the best AAU kids and the best high school kids that we can, get our hands on. So we're pretty familiar. And like I say, I've mentioned some of the high school kids we've had. Really all the Kentucky kids that we've got, we're all you know, all state level players here in Kentucky, and that's been really beneficial for us. And I think just us continuing to do that, continuing to recruit Kentucky has helped us build our brand a little bit here in Kentucky. I think has meant a lot to us.
You just got a commit. I think it was last week from a kid who played in the state tournament that was at Great Crossing. Any other Kentucky kids part of this next class coming in?
Yeah, you know, Jeremiah Godfrey is the kid from Great Crossings. I think he's got a really, really high upside. I think he's got a chance to be able to guard one through five, you know, with a little bit of strength. You know, he really moves his feet really long. So we're really excited about him. You know, in the way that they played offensively because of, you know, Dawson and Moreno, obviously, maybe not always put in positions offensively. And again, those two guys are really good players. You know, Moreno's a Power 5 kid, and Dawson's going to be a Division 1 player too. Maybe not always put in positions offensively to show his entire skill set. So we're excited to work with him. I think he's got a high upside. The other high school kid we signed is a kid from Harlan Independent down this way. Kyler McClendon is a point guard who we're really excited about. His team had a lot of success last year when he's a junior. Everybody on his team graduated with the exception of Kyler. Now, Kyler had a lot of individual success this year. He averaged over 30 points a game, made a lot of threes. So his team did not have as much success this season as they did last year. You know, last year, they were a shot away from beating North Laurel in the first round of the region tournament down here in the 13th. So it was tied. And North made a shot at the buzzer to beat them. Ironically, the guy that made that shot is on our team now, redshirted force Ryan Davidson. So Ryan played at North Laurel last season. So he actually made the shot that ended Kyler's season 2 years ago. But we're excited about Kyler as well. So we think with Jeremiah and Kyler, those two guys coming in, we're excited about those guys, two Kentucky kids who have had a lot of success. We're probably going to bring in two more transfers is really our focus now. Again, we've got a lot of guys coming back. We had 10 guys in the weight room today working out. So a lot of guys coming back. We're probably, looking at two transfers. We've got a couple of guys in mind that we've targeted. And we've actually added one more guy transferred to us from an NAIA program, West Virginia Tech, Brant Smithers, who's a Kentucky kid as well, was 8th region player of the year up at Walton Verona. So he's a couple years out from Walton Verona, but was 8th region player of the year. An elite level shooter, shot well into the 40th percentile last year. So we hit a lot on those Kentucky guys. They've been really good to us.
You know, Coach, Wes was talking about your all's campus and, athletics across the board at the University of Cumberland have all been pretty successful lately. How is the student support? Do y'all get a lot of fans out to games?
Yeah, it's growing. One of our athletic director who I need to mention, just like I mentioned our president, our athletic director, Chris Crafted, is, he's top of the line. He does a great job. And when he became athletic director, he kind of implemented this one big team atmosphere where it was, you're not going to be so much segregated with your teams. You're going to get out and you're going to support everybody. And because of that, I think the way in which we all pull for each other is really unique, really special. You mentioned the success we've had. Our women's soccer, men's indoor track, both won national championships this year. Baseball and softball were both in the World Series last year. Our women just made a run to the Final Four. So we had a great season. You look at athletics across the board, we've had a lot of success. We're still trying to grow our following in the community. And that's, again, I think what's helped us having a successful season has helped that, will help that. The way the NAIA has set up the national tournament now is you have to win two games at a host site to make it to Kansas City. So the Sweet 16 is in Kansas City, Missouri. But you got to win, the opening, they call them pods, the opening pod to get there. Well, because we were such a high seed, we got to host our pod. So four teams come here, winner goes to Kansas City. The atmosphere at both of those games was electric, was fantastic. And that was while students were on spring break. I feel like we're doing a good job promoting our program. Our guys are visible in the community. We do a bunch of different service projects. Here in Williamsburg and in the local communities. And I think that's gone a long way. And again, just kind of, promoting our guys and building our brand and what Cumberland's basketball we want it to be.
So you are coming off a pretty successful season this year. We've talked about that numerous times already. What are you looking forward to heading into next season?
A lot of the same. That's what I've mentioned. We're going to continue to play, I think, a lot of the same style with as many returners as we've got. If we're able to, specifically with these last two spots we're looking to fill, we're able to get the guys that we want. You know, we're going to continue to play the way that we'll play. We're going to play fast and try to get up and down. And, you know, I think one of the things that we really talked about as a staff and is, you know, the teams that really succeeded out in Kansas City this year, made it to the Final Four, won national championships, got to the finals, all that stuff, those are the teams that were in our position last year. You know, they were new to Kansas City. You know, they won their pod, got knocked out once they got there. So, you know, I think it was really important for our guys, again, just to take that step, get to the final site, get to where everybody is. We came up short, which is disappointing. Obviously, we wanted to win a national championship, thought we had a team to do it. But I think just getting there, our guys seeing it, seeing what it takes, doing everything, you know, that goes with that, I think is really important. But, you know, our goal is to win it all, is to, you know, get to the Final Four and cut down the nets in the municipal auditorium. And we have every, you know, resource, everything at our disposal to be able to achieve that. So it's not like an unrealistic goal. You know, I don't think every, you know, all the 250 some odd NAIA teams, I don't think are on our level can think that. But I think we're one of the ones that really can. Hey, we're right here on the doorstep. We just got to take another step.
So you've talked a couple times about how tough, and you think it's perhaps the toughest conference in all of NAI. I mean, what will it look like next year as well? I mean, do we think that the top is still going to be the top, or, you know, are there any up and coming teams? Or
yeah, well, Georgetown's always really good. They've got a good team. We're a national tournament team this year. Got beaten around a 32, but. They Coach Briggs has won two national championships at Georgetown since he's been there. You know, Happy, back to when Happy was there, you know, if you look up Happy's winning percentage at Georgetown, he's never lost. You know, he just, you know, won a national championship when he was there, and just an incredible coach. So they've just got a long-standing history. You know, I don't like to publicize this, but I always say, you know, we're second in national tournament appearances. Georgetown actually is first. So they've got a rich tradition, so they're always going to be good year in and year out, and they're going to get good players, and they've got a good returning nucleus. You know, I mentioned Freed Hardman. Freed Hardman actually won the national championship this year, and they bring a solid nucleus back, so they're going to be really good. You know, we haven't hit on, you know, Campbellsville, Lindsey Wilson, Cumberland University down in Lebanon, Tennessee, and Bethel University down in Tennessee as well. All of those teams are, you know, they're fully funded. They're really well coached. They've got really good players. So that's the one thing I think that's a little unique about our conference. You mentioned it before, is the top is really good, but so is the bottom. Yeah. You know, somebody's going to finish seventh. That's pretty good, you know. And so I think you look at it as a whole. That's a little bit what separates it. There's no nights off. You know, you're going to go to Bethel on a Thursday night, and I think finished seventh this year. You're going to go to Cumberland U, and you know, we went to Cumberland U this year, and 5 minutes to go, we were still in a tight game. You know, so I think that's a little bit more the separator, is just from top to bottom. There's just not very many nights off.
Right.
Coach, I got to get this out of the way because they would absolutely hate me if I didn't. I'm a 2X if you want to send any Cumberland's gear my way.
yeah, absolutely. You guys, we get offered. We'll try to hook that up, man. We, again, promote our program any way we can. We were fortunate enough when we won the regular season. We got a bunch of shirts. You know, some of them were sent to us, others donated and whatever. So I've got some gear. You guys, let me know on size. I'd be happy to have you guys repping.
I'm surprised it took you that long to ask for
right,
the gear.
I mean, we're almost
well, able. The technical difficulties at the beginning
it threw me off for a little bit. But you mentioned about supporting each other, and you mentioned when you came here, Happy's the reason you came here. Something I've noticed, you and Coach Dustin Howe were together on staff. And still at the big games, you still come back to show up to support Dustin. What's that relationship like?
The thing with, man, what a tough, you know, he's been on your show probably a handful of times. He casts a large shadow. I don't even know if I'm worthy after Dustin's been on your all show. So, no, he's a good friend. Obviously, you know, when, you know, we were on staff together, and then he coached with me when I became the head coach. And, you know, when you get a guy that, again, very special to me, very important to me, but, you know, went through a lot of the ups and downs that we had and was right by my side the whole time, I sometimes feel it's like the least I can do is to be there and support him. And obviously did a great job. And, you know, even when I wasn't able to get back and watch, I don't think from afar, I don't think anybody else was cheering on the Lady Indians like I was. So I was following every game and checking stats and, you know, checking in with him. So. It was a good relationship, still a good relationship. Obviously, don't get to see each other like we once did, you know, every day, but still somebody that I rely on and trust. And so still bounce a lot of ideas off of him. And even though, you know, again, him coaching girls and me coaching at the college, we can't run a lot of the same things. And sometimes our games are a little bit different. We still bounce things off of each other. And it's just been a very beneficial relationship for me, for sure.
So, okay. What? Oh,
go ahead.
So, has it been we kind of touched on this earlier. Like, is this a dream for you to come back and be able to coach at the college that you played for? You're a 1,000-point scorer there. I mean, you know, you probably live, you know, you live in the lore. There are all kinds of stories about, you know, Matt Daniel back when he's a player and he did all this stuff, I'm sure. But, you know, is that kind of like a dream come true for you?
It's absolutely been a dream. I love, like I mentioned earlier, you cut me open. I'm a Patriot through and through. You know, I made the decision to come here when I was a senior in high school, and Coach Buescher recruited me and had some other options, but it felt right for me to come here, and I'm thankful that I did. Obviously, I got here, had a successful career, as you mentioned, as a basketball player, but. Well, even more than that, grew in a lot of ways while I was here, you know, academically, socially, all those things as well. I think which speaks to, you know, how special our university is. Met my wife, you know, if I hadn't come to Cumberland, I wouldn't have met her. And so, again, just really thankful that I made the decision to be a Patriot way back when I was 18 years old. And, you know, just as thankful that I'm a Patriot, you know, today. Again, I, you know, when I got out of college, didn't necessarily see this being where I'm at, but I'm you know, one of the things we try to preach to our guys is just to be appreciative for the opportunities that you have, be appreciative for what you've got, and don't delay gratitude. So anytime I get to brag on our school and tell people about what we have here at Cumberland and put it in a really good light, I'm going to do it because I love this place very much, and it's a destination job for me. I love it here.
You know, you were talking about the 20,000 enrollment. I am one of those recent graduates. I graduated last year with my master's, and I'm looking at going back and getting my rank one from there. But I can vouch. I mean, the programs are great. You know, the staff is great. Anytime you had a question, you know, there was always somebody there to answer it. So, I am a Patriot through and through as well, but you cut me open, and it's a St. Catherine College Patriot. We're not – open anymore, so I'm a de facto University of Cumberland's Patriot now.
So you know, when I was in school, you know, St. Cat was actually in our league before it closed down. So they spent a couple of years. I don't know if you know JT Burton or not.
I know JT Burton very well.
Yeah, so JT was the coach there. Yeah. And man, now you go to St. Cat on a Thursday night, and those baseball guys on the stage. Now that's a different type of atmosphere. You know, you got three bleachers on each side. We had a heck of a time over at St. Cat. You know, the first year they got in our league after, you know, going from a junior college to a 4-year, you know, they were bottom of the league. You know, you got two pretty easy wins. It didn't take long, and JT got him some guys in there, and they made the national tournament, I want to say, you know, my junior year. I mean, they had a really good team. JT, we actually played JT. You know, JT's at Tusculum now. Mm-hmm. We actually played an exhibition down at Tusculum this year, early in the year. Coach was kind enough to allow us to come down there and play at 11 a.m. Really a unique thing. We played at 11 a.m. in front of, they had a bunch of school kids for a field trip. So a packed house down there at Tusculum. It was an awesome one. Honestly, we won, which was even made a little bit sweeter. But it didn't count on our record. You know, really, we got 29 wins. They didn't even take a win from us. But really, I think a lot of JT and St. Cat as a whole, it's a really unique place.
Yep.
So you mentioned the guy that recruited you is also the guy that was still head coach that you took over. What's one thing? Is there anything that's still a stamp from that program, from that era to your era?
I think a lot. You know, his name's Don Buescher, Coach Buescher. You know, in my phone, and I have my phone is littered with coaches. There's only one coach in my phone. You know, Coach Buescher is coach. I'll never call Coach Buescher Donnie ever. You know, cause he is my coach, you know, and, I'm fortunate enough. Coach still lives here in Williamsburg. You know, his wife actually still teaches here at the college. So, we have a great relationship. We lunch probably once a week. We talk on the phone a couple times other than that. So, you know, he still comes to practice. He complains that we don't play enough defense. But in a lot of ways, we're still a lot of the same. We still have a lot of the same core values. We believe in a lot of the same things. Since the 1979, Coach Vernon took over in 79. So 79, 80 was his first year. Coach Buescher was his assistant from, I think, 90 to 2000. Coach Buescher takes over in 2000 and was the coach all the way up until 2020 or 21. And then I took over for Coach Buescher. We've had, two straight coaches both last 20 odd years, and both of them very defensive minded. Coach Vernon, that's who our court is named after. Is a legendary coach in his day. He's got 500 plus wins, been to the NAIA Final Four, just a legendary coach. Anybody, especially in small college circles, but even, people that really are familiar with college basketball, Randy Vernon is a legendary name, and rightfully so. And, was a defensive minded guy. So really held his hat on defense, and that Coach Buescher kind of took that. And so I joke when I get to see those guys, especially together, they spent 40 years building up a defense. It only took me 3 to break it down. So we just put a little bit higher emphasis on putting the ball in the hole. So
I was going to say, you play 3. It sounds like you play 3 and D like a lot of the NBA does, but you just play 3 and then the D just kind of falls off.
We're just hoping you miss, So we do. I joke, man. We do. We spend a lot of time in practice on defense. We do a lot of this, a lot of defensive drills. We can hold guys a little more accountable on the defensive end, and but that's probably the next step for us. Again, if we want to make that jump to, regular season champ, make it to the Sweet 16, we're gonna have to stop people. We're gonna have to get our defensive field goal percentage down there a little lower. And I don't think we'll ever be a team because of our pace. I don't think we'll ever be a team holding teams in the 50s and 60s. Teams are gonna score because we're gonna play fast. But we've got to make him way more inefficient. And, again, if we want to take that next step.
Good. Guys?
I don't have anything else.
All right. Well, listen. Well, listen, we want to thank you very much for taking the time to come on the show.
And for being patient.
Definitely being patient.
Because, it wouldn't be our podcast if we didn't have some sort of little bit of a technical difficulty.
That's our niche. Technical difficulties is our actual niche.
Hello. No, it was all good. No worries.
But thanks for coming on the show. I hope everybody takes some of this information and checks you all out. Either go down and take in a game or just, I think I want to go to University of Cumberland.
It's only an hour and 49 minutes.
So yeah, it's not that far. It really isn't. Get on 75 and go.
We can be like the Cumberland's College Game Day.
Yeah, come on, we'll do it. We'll get you guys chairs on the floor and everything. We'll get people in the stands with some signs. Don't make this with a good time.
This is
drive. It is. It's straight interstate from where you guys are, 64 to 75, and you can be here in no time. And again, our school is very affordable. So I would anybody listening, looking for a school, looking for a college, or looking to get your master's. Doing some grad work, give us a look. I think you'll have a good experience. And if you do decide to come to a game, since COVID, we made it free to come to games. So you come down, just pop in the door, man. We'll treat you right, and you'll get to see what we think is some pretty high quality basketball.
I like it.
You sold me at free.
Well, I was going to say, Sean will probably hit you up afterwards to find out those sub-500 teams that you play to make sure, he's big on watching people play sub-500 games. So he'll probably want to check your schedule out.
I just want to make sure we're going to see a win. That's all it is.
Well, you heard him talk about how tough the conference is.
Come to one of the non-conference games.
If you want me to guarantee a win, maybe one of the non-con games.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you for sure coming on and joining us. Next time we get you on, we'll have this audio stuff fixed. I promise. So, thanks again. We'll see you next time. That was a fun interview.
That was a good time.
Back-to-back weeks we've had college coaches on here.
It's just a different aspect.
It is.
And
the transfer portal fascinates me.
And it's just something that people need to see, and heck, you just never know when they might go, I kind of like that. Let me just go check that college out. You just never know.
Yeah.
Well, and he touched on it. I patted myself on the back there. I graduated last spring with my master's. I wasn't blowing smoke either. Like, that's that legitimately, the, you know, the staff, the teachers, anytime I had a question, I could always find somebody that would answer it for me. And it is very reasonable and affordable. So, everything in my program for the MAT was all online. So you never had to leave the comforts of your own home.
Nice. And now I'm just going to throw this out there now that Coach is off the show. If he gets a scholarship player from here, I want 10% NIL because we had him on here.
We did. I mean,
so we started the bridge, not the pipeline. Well,
not the pipeline. Even though you all tried to make pipelines from,
I said the bridge.
We don't have a basketball player playing down there right now. But if I'm not mistaken, Gabe Amberge is going there to fish.
I think you're right. Yeah. And didn't we have a football player commit there last year, maybe year before?
Is he not going to Campbellsville? Maybe it is Campbellsville. Yeah. I'm sorry. One of the two, or maybe both of them have a good fit. Have one of the few fishing programs in Kentucky. So.
We tried to start that pipeline. Wes says all it takes is two. Two to make a pipeline.
We decided last week, though, that it's got to be four.
It's got to be five.
Oh, it's got to be five.
Yeah,
now?
Because I don't think four technically is a pipeline.
If,
I think it's got to be five.
If we send one 4 years in a row, that's not considered a pipeline
that's not,
at that point?
No, that's just called somebody glutton for punishment that won't say no.
It's a bridge.
It's a bridge. You got to build the bridge before you can get the pipeline.
Got
great.
So,
hey, Neil.
Hey, Wes.
Do we have an Athlete of the Week this week?
Before we do the Athlete of the Week.
Oh,
breaking news.
Update from the girls softball game. Reagan Oney just stole home in the top of the second to make it 8-0 Montgomery County over Wolf.
Listen, can you
have any home runs to add to the list?
No, Emily Brock did hit a grand slam though.
Sweet.
Whoa.
Hey, so can you imagine you got Oney on third base and it's like, hey, you want to steal home? Sure.
I mean, we're up 7-0. Right. Go
steal
for
home?
It.
She just does whatever she wants to
or,
do.
Or did she just call that on her own? Did she just go rogue, you think? Or did she have the call?
Third base coach. Who is Puckett. Third base coach?
I mean, probably is it Puckett, isn't it?
I think it is Puckett. Third base coach. Puckett's like, what? Where's she?
Well, I was going to tell her something. She's home. Safe. Okay. Safe.
He turned around to give her the signal and she was gone.
Yeah.
She's up to 10 home runs on the only homer count right now.
Well, I mean, she's still got some work to do.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
She's going to have to start cranking them homers out. No!
So,
it's a Homer Simpson
reference. Did we come up with an Athlete of the Week? Because I texted out earlier and nobody said anything. So
when you asked me, I turned and looked.
I thought we had had that figured out earlier in the week.
Well, then tell us who you think it is.
Tell us who it is then, Wes.
And it'll be a surprise to everybody.
I thought we had decided to make it. Waste some time.
It's going to be probably my idea.
Okay. So while you're looking for that, we'll move on for one other thing. So just wanted to give an update on our Cartoon SmackDown tournament.
Bow, bow!
Starting tomorrow, we are moving
into the Elite Eight tomorrow.
The Elite Eight. So here's where we stand. The 60s and 70s bracket, we've got the number one seed Bugs Bunny against the number three seed Scooby-Doo.
That's going to be a monster matchup.
In the 2000s, we've got number one seed Stewie Griffin versus number six seed Jimmy Neutron.
Jimmy Neutron has been throwing
Jimmy
down
Neutron's
some
the man.
That's Cinderella.
A six seed right there.
That's Cinderella.
In the 80s, we had an upset. Optimus Prime from the four seed beat number one Garfield.
Garfield, he was in lasagna coma. That's what happened to Garfield.
And he will be taking on the two seed He-Man. That's going to be a heck of a matchup right there. And in the 90s, we've got number one SpongeBob versus number two Homer Simpson.
I was really upset SpongeBob made it. I wanted Tommy. Was it Tommy Pickles or was
Tommy
it
Tommy Pickles.
I couldn't remember which one. And Doug
SpongeBob took out Tommy and Homer took out Doug.
Listen, Linda. Ask me how many people know who Tommy Pickles is. When I get this leg sleeve tattoo of 90s cartoon characters, you'll know who Tommy Pickles is.
I voted Tommy Pickles over SpongeBob. So
did you find it?
I did.
Okay, tell us.
So on Saturday, April 13th, we took on Lafayette.
Lafayette.
You're right. I know where you're going with this.
And Madison Cox had five RBIs.
Five RBIs.
Booker T reference.
She hit a home run in the fourth inning, scoring three of those. Sacrifice fly, and she tripled in the third inning to score two more. So,
bam!
Listen, five RBIs, that's pretty good.
Yeah!
And she's been hunting the cover off the ball.
She's been hunting it, hunting the cover off of it.
Just like, I mean, there's about five of them that's sniping got five or six home runs each. So, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Kim Soft, athlete of the week.
Madison Cox.
Woo!
But I'm going rogue here for a second, if y'all don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
Sean, do you mind? Okay, I'm going to go rogue.
You go rogue? I can't imagine.
Right.
Is there anything in the segment?
I want to give our Tutu's Sweet Treat Dog of the Week. I saw it before we came on the air. To our esports team, who is back in the state tournament, going for their third straight state title.
Did they win at 5? They were supposed to have a match at 5 p.m. I didn't see a result.
Oh, I thought it was tomorrow at 5.
It might be tomorrow at 5. I just saw 5 p.m.
They beat Greene County today or yesterday.
How many state tournaments do they have a year there?
Well, there's spring and fall. I was going to say, and there's different games.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Huh. But, so our, because we give our 2-2 Sweet Treat Dog of the Week to the esports team. Why, Darren?
Because they got that dog in them. All right, well, there we go. We wrapped up some business there. So,
did they got the dog in them, or do the thumbs have the dog in them?
Well, it's their thumbs, but it's still part of them.
I mean, fair point.
And dogs don't really have thumbs, so that's even more miraculous, right? So, all right, well, guys, there you have it for this week's edition of the Community Trust Bank Coaches Corner, presented by the From Corner to Corner Podcast. If you haven't already, go out and give us a like on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. Remember to help us promote our Coach's Corner show and our Kim Soft Athletes of the Week program.
Wes wants to say something.
Subscribe. Make sure you subscribe.
Sorry.
Emphasize that.
That's our call to action.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's on your show notes that you wrote.
Yeah.
Remember to help us promote.
Kim Soft Athletes Community. Of the Week program. Manistee County Brent Williams. Kentucky Farm Bureau Athletes of the Month program. We do what we do for ours and the surrounding communities, our teams, our coaches, and our students.
And our communities.
We'll catch you guys next week.
Stay safe, friends.
Hey, everyone. This is Sean with the From Corner to Corner Podcast. I'd like to take a moment to thank all of our sponsors. We have Community Trust Bank, who sponsors our studio here on North Maysville. Kimsoft, who is our sponsor of our Athlete of the Week. Tutu Sweet Treats, who sponsors our Dog of the Week. CRC Renovations. Kentucky Realty Group. Jacob's Auto Body. Brett Wehunt's Kentucky Farm Bureau in Frenchburg, sponsor of our Athlete of the Month in Menifee County. And then our newest sponsor, Kelwell Commissary and Simply Secured, who sponsors our From Corner to Corner Road Show. Thank you all for making all of this happen, and we appreciate all of your support.
The Moco Four Horsemen would like to thank you for listening to From Corner to Corner. Be sure to go out and follow us on Twitter, on TikTok, on Facebook, Instagram, and even YouTube. Whatever podcast platform that you listen to us on, be sure to go out and give us a 5-star review. Thanks as always, and we look forward to seeing you next week.